Fathers have a vital role in a family and in the society. But our society's view of fathers seems to have shifted from the honored leader of the family to a goofy and dopey figure, just in the course of my lifetime. One area where this view is reflected is on television. Older TV shows like Leave It to Beaver, My Three Sons, and The Dick Van Dyke Show, and even some of the more recent ones which I grew up watching, like The Cosby Show, The Wonder Years, and Major Dad, all portrayed fathers as respected and honored men with a good sense of humor. But within the last 20 years or so, that image of the respected father has degraded in our society. And nowadays, it's difficult to find a show with a respected father figure. And the fathers on TV now are caricatured as dopey and goofy men who are on the verge of causing some sort of a major catastrophe, like Al Bundy, Homer Simpson, Tim the Toolman Taylor, and Raymond from Everybody Loves Raymond. Think about it. How many recent TV shows from about the last 10 years or so can you think of that portrays a father as a well-respected figure? My guess is you have to think really hard, and even if you did, maybe you thought of one or two, but this is not the norm, it's the exception. A writer wrote in a Washington Post back in the 1990s, ask a typical viewer to describe how parents are portrayed on most shows, and the answer usually is stupid. TV parents are the irrational authoritarians, the blustering bores, the twerpy, dopey, hopelessly uncool, the miserly boobs, and the overprotective fools. Many of the fathers on TV shows now are mostly separated, divorced, absent, or has a child or two out of wedlock. These are men from shows like Jack Bauer from 24, Booth from Bones, and the main guy from Taken. Now, I bring this up not to encourage you to go watch all of these shows, but to highlight the degraded view of fathers over the last few decades in our society. And I use TV shows as an example because what's portrayed on TV is often the reality, the vision, and the desire of the society. Our society is crying out for strong and godly fathers. John Perkins, an evangelical African-American civil rights movement leader, he writes this, "Fatherlessness is an epidemic today, and my heart is broken for women, and especially the children who have been abandoned. So I plead with men to take responsibility and love their families." Our society needs men who are willing to step up and own up to their God-given responsibility of being a father. And if ever the father's role at home needed to be stressed, it is now. And this message on the role of fathers applies not only to fathers, but also to those who are aspiring to be one, and those who may advise fathers, and also those who may advise about the biblical view of fatherhood. And in a couple of weeks, for the ladies, stay tuned. We will also be expounding on Proverbs 31 on the godly woman. So before we begin, the first thing I need you to do is take out your outlines, and I need you to take that and scrap it, because that was from Wednesday, okay? And since Wednesday until last night about midnight, the categories have changed that I want to convey to you. So now before we consider what a father's role entails and how a father should lead, we must explore why fatherhood is so important. So why is a father's role so important? Fatherhood is important because fatherhood is how God relates to his people. It is how God relates to us. In Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse 30, we are told, "The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. And in the desert, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place." God is a father to his people. He is the protector, the provider, and our guide. In Psalm 68, verse 5, we're told that God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. And in Isaiah 63:16, we read, "You are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name." God relates to us as our Father. He is the Redeemer who shows compassion to the fatherless and the widows. And in the New Testament, Jesus explicitly taught his disciples to address God as our Father in the Lord's Prayer. And this view of God as our Father is also echoed in his parable of the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, we see the Father showing great joy to the returning prodigal. God is our heavenly Father who rejoices at the sight of his returning child. And fatherhood is important because God relates to us as a father. Now, fatherhood is also important because fatherhood is a God-given responsibility. Theologian John Frame explains how some of the responsibilities and roles in society trace back to fatherhood. Now, let me qualify by saying that this is John Frame's view and not one that is explicitly stated in Proverbs or in the Bible. But I think it is one that is noteworthy, because when examining the responsibility of a father, he does a very good job of connecting the two. The human race began as a family, and he asserts that with Adam as a husband and father playing the role of prophet, priest, and king. But as the civilization grew, these roles became more differentiated. And as a result, we see that the civil government is an expansion of the family government. We see this exemplified in Joseph's rule over Egypt when he is speaking to his brothers. In Genesis 45, verse 8, we read, "So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." And here we see Scripture describing fatherhood as a metaphor for civil and military rule, because fatherhood entails the responsibility to rule and lead. And the fatherhood metaphor extends to the prophets, teachers, and church leaders throughout the Bible. Fatherhood carries a responsibility to teach, lead, and pray. And it begins in the home as a father fulfills the duties of the office of the prophet, priest, and king. Fathers are to be God's representatives with authority to lead the family with love, as our Heavenly Father has led us to Himself. So if fatherhood is so important, how should a father lead his home? The book of Proverbs is written in the context of a father teaching his son God's wisdom for wise living. And there is much to learn about fatherhood. First, a father must lead with love by modeling diligence. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him." And in chapter 12, verse 11, "He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. The wicked desire the plunder of evil men, but the root of the righteous flourishes." Here in these Proverbs, we see that a father is to model a blameless life. It is a life worth following. And in part, it is marked by diligence and hard work. There are many proverbs warning us against laziness, and an effective way of imparting diligence to your children is through your example of diligence. When I worked for the Hershey Company, I started working at the West Hershey plant, and I had the privilege of working with hourly union workers. Now, most of them were in their 50s and 60s, and most of them grew up in Pennsylvania. And what I loved about them was that they were genuine, down-to-earth folks, and most of them were hard workers who grew up on a farm. And when I walked around the plant to assess the operation, I asked the diligent workers this question. I said, "Why do you work harder than your peers? You make the same wages, your work is about the same, and yet your work ethic, it stands out. Why is this? You're not taking your smoke breaks, and why are you in here working so hard?" And this question was always met with a very honest answer. And they said this. It said, I grew up on a farm in rural Pennsylvania, and my father taught me to work hard. One electrician I remember said, my father taught me to be a productive citizen by working hard and told me to teach my sons to do the same. And so today they are. In most of their answers, there was usually one common denominator, and that was the influence of their father. And I greatly respected their diligence and their hard work ethic. Hard work is necessary in life. Fathers, lead with love by modeling diligence. Proverbs 28:19 tells us, he who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. Secondly, fathers must lead with love by modeling selflessness. Now, the Proverbs doesn't instruct explicitly for fathers to be selfless, but the theme of selflessness is one that has been demonstrated for us through the life and death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is one that I believe needs to be practiced by fathers because we have been called to serve our families. And so I do want to encourage fathers with this point. Fatherhood entails serving, and fathers must model selflessness. Matthew 23:11, Jesus told us that the greatest among you shall be a servant. A father must be a servant to his wife and to his children. And so what does this mean in the context of a home for a father to be a servant who is supposed to be the leader of the family? It means that after a hard day of work, when all you want to do is come home and sit on the couch and relax, but your children are jumping and aching for your attention, it means you get down on the floor and you play with them if you're able, that you talk to them. And if you have the strength, you can throw them around a little bit. It means when you come home from a long day of work and you can't stand the mess that you walked into because your wife was busy caring for the kids and she had a hard day of her own, it means you start cleaning up the mess and you start enlisting the help of your children to do the same. It means that when your wife has prepared a dinner and made that huge mess in the kitchen because that soup boiled over and now that your stovetop is charred and there's a big mess on it and you have an evening of bedtime negotiations ahead with your children, it means that you start doing the dishes. It means you start cleaning the kitchen. Division of household chores between a husband and wife is critical to a happy marriage, for it will help manage your expectations, because unmet expectations will result in frustration. But there will be times, as I mentioned, when your wife will not be able to accomplish all the tasks. And likewise for you, husband, after a long day, you may not be able to take out that trash or do something else or vacuum. These are times when grace must abound in your marriage. Ephesians 5:25 tells us, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Fathers, serve your wives and children selflessly. Be a servant to your family as Christ, our Lord and King, loved the church and died for us. A large part of serving your family selflessly, it entails your involvement and presence at home. And when taking on a new project, a new assignment, a new job, your availability to your family and time and presence in the home must be a consideration. No matter how lucrative, how prestigious, and how exciting that new job may be, you must consider how it will affect your responsibility as a father and husband at home. These decisions require much wisdom, so you must pray for wisdom and discernment. Before accepting the call to pastor here at Cornerstone, the same week that I received the call from Bill to consider coming here, I received another job offer. It was a different career path altogether, and one that I was very interested in and had devoted over a year in the application process alone. And after a battery of tests, interviews, psychological exams and polygraphs, I received a job offer from the U.S. Secret Service for the position of a criminal investigator as a special agent. The work mostly entailed financial fraud and other criminal investigations and protecting the President of the United States and other dignitaries and their family members, which meant a lot of traveling and a lot of time away from home. At the time, it was very exciting. And after a year of devoting myself to the application process, I had finally made it. And I could not believe that the offer came in the same week as the offer from Cornerstone. It was as if God smiled at me with a sense of humor and said, "Where is your commitment, son?" But the more I considered and the more I spoke with the agents inside the agency, the more I realized that taking this job offer from the Secret Service was going to keep me away from my family, weeks, if not months at a time. It was going to keep me from serving my wife and our three little girls at home. It was going to keep me from being involved in the life of my family. And though it was an exciting career offer, I declined it for many reasons. Now, I bring up my experience to encourage you, fathers, to think through your career decisions and consider how it will affect your responsibilities as a father and husband at home. Fathers, are you present at home to teach your kids intentionally, to serve your family selflessly? If you're a working man, it's not a question of if, but when another job will be offered to you, or that new assignment will be offered. And when you are offered another project, an assignment, or a job, no matter how lucrative, how prestigious, and how exciting that new job may be, consider how it will affect your God-given responsibility as a father and husband at home. Thirdly, fathers must lead with love by teaching intentionally. The father of Proverbs wrote in chapter 4, verse 10, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." Here we see the father has recognized his responsibility to teach and to guide his children. He knows where he is going and knows where he wants his children to go as well. Have you thought through what you intend to teach your children? Your children will learn from you, both from your intentional and unintentional teaching moments. Intentional lessons are taught through family devotions, Bible reading times set aside, or other structured times in the family to communicate God's truth. Intentionally teaching your children was explicitly commanded in ancient Israel. As Dan Sullivan read for us in Deuteronomy 6, says that these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates. In other words, let the word of God first transform you and then be taught to your children through you. Build them into your family habits and traditions. Unintentional lessons are caught through your examples and learned through spontaneous moments. It is when your child observes you reading the Bible, when you're praying, or cutting that tithe check when money is tight. It is when your child observes how you treat your wife, the authorities, the homeless, how you talk about others behind their back, and how you react in moments of frustration. It is when your child asks you about sex, dating, death, heaven, and anything else that piques their curiosity and your response to it. It is when you regularly prioritize sports, either as a spectator or a participant, over church. You may be sending a message you may not want to send. This particular issue on sports requires much wisdom, And I urge you to think through your decisions and think about the message you're sending to your children. You must think through the examples you're setting before your children, because through your examples, they will learn and they will follow. These are the unintentional lessons which will be caught by your children. What you believe is not simply between you and God. It affects your children. Fathers, what do you intend to teach your kids? What changes are you willing to make to set an example for your children? Are you walking in shoes you want your children to fill? Teach them the importance of faith in Christ and teach them to prioritize God. Set an example that you would want your children to follow in your footsteps. And your children will learn and they will likely follow your example. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. Finally, fathers must lead with love by disciplining consistently. There is certainly a positive method of disciplining as well, like reinforcing good behaviors with rewards. But as I refer to discipline, I'll be using it in the corrective sense, punishing bad behavior, because this is how the father in Proverbs has intended to convey this meaning. So why is disciplining so important? Well, Proverbs 22:15 tells us, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Parents, your children are sinners. Psalm 51, verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. This is a biblical fact. We are born as sinners, and as a result, you will face problems with your children before they can even talk. As Adam and Eve rebelled against the Heavenly Father, so will your children rebel against you. And why should you correct your child's bad behavior? Proverbs 13, verse 24 tells us, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. The rod here refers to a shepherd's staff. And the staff was used for positive guidance to direct the sheep and yank them out of trouble, but it was also for punishing and correcting a behavior. It involved physical pain. The rod is an image of authority and protection against harmful animals and elements that may hurt the sheep. And the writer strongly urged his son to use it for correction if he loves his children. In other words, if you're not disciplining your children for their consistent bad behavior, you are hating them and doing a disservice to them by not punishing them and correcting them. Fathers, if your young child is disobedient with you, with the mother, with other adult authorities, the responsibility to discipline consistently and correct the child's behavior falls squarely on you. The goal of discipline is not the demonstration of your frustration or your power, but it's the pruning of bad branches from a tree so that your child may bear good fruit. And punishment must be always administered in the context of love, not in anger, not in vengeance, embarrassment, or frustration. And often the best opportunity to communicate with the child and to teach occurs after punishment. Make them understand that what you say is what you mean. Don't nag at them. Provide consequences that you will stick to consistently if they disobey. And make them remember that bad behavior has bad consequences. Teach them to respect you and your wife. Teach them to respect authority and to fear God through your discipline. Proverbs 3, verse 12 tells us, the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father disciplines a son in whom he delights. Do you want your children to obey you? and listen to other authorities in life. If you want your child to respect you during his teenage years, you must be worthy of his respect during the early years leading up to it. Proverbs 22:6 tells us that train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you're dealing with a difficult child with constant behavioral issues, I urge you to seek wisdom and seek counsel from our elders, from the women of our Titus 2 team. There is a wealth of wisdom here, and these are men and women who have successfully raised their children. And they have gone before you and raised their kids well. Seek the advice of those who have led a good example in disciplining and raising their children. Fathers, lead your children with love and discipline them consistently. And as you're hearing these exhortations for fathers, you may have thought one of the following: I wish my husband would be more like that. I wish my father was more like that. Or I wish I could be more like that. But the truth is that there is no perfect father other than the Heavenly Father. And if you want to be a better father, it will not happen overnight. And if you may not have what it takes to make these drastic changes in life. And as a father of three girls, I am sad to say that I will fail them as a father in some way down the road. And this is true for all of you fathers in here. But what I hope and pray is that my children will know the Heavenly Father who won't fail them and whose love will faithfully sustain them in spite of my failures. Because He is faithful and His love is everlasting. And my prayer for you is the same, that you would know the love of the Heavenly Father who has led you to be who you are today. So as a father or a future father-to-be, how can you become a better father? You must look to the Heavenly Father and you must be united with Him. You see, our Heavenly Father is the good Father who pursues and reconciles us to Himself through the Son, Jesus Christ. And though we are sinners and cannot be holy and pure to be united with Him on our own strength, God has provided a way to Himself through His Son, so that in faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and this free gift of grace can be received, so that the Holy Spirit, who purifies and sanctifies us in Christ, will complete the work the Father began. And when the Holy Spirit unites you to the Father through faith in the Son, His work of transformation in you will begin. And you will bear much fruit. You will bear the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fathers, desire to know the Heavenly Father and seek His wisdom. Pray for courage, for commitment, and love for your family. Perhaps this morning, your husband is not in the picture for whatever reason, and your children are growing without a strong godly father. And you desire a godly man to be the role model for your children. When a father is absent, you look to the Heavenly Father for your provision. And if your husband is in the picture, you pray for his transformation, that God will draw near and will convict his heart. And get actively involved in the local church. God's desire is to bring you and your children into His perfect love through Jesus, and for you to raise your children to know His great love, as He has given us the physical expression of His love through the local church. Model your commitment to the church for your children, and allow other godly men in the church to be their role models, their mentors, and their fathers. Our God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. I close with this lyrics from a popular song that you may know. It describes a father-son relationship. It's called Cats in the Cradle. My child arrived just the other day, came to the world in the usual way. but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when. We'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, my son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Could you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do, he said. That's okay. And he walked away and smiled and he said, you know, I'm going to be like him. You know I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, I'm proud of you. Could you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called up just the other day. I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Fathers, lead your children with love as your heavenly Father has led you. What changes do you need to make in your life to model diligence and selflessness for your kids? To be more intentional about teaching your kids and to discipline them more consistently. Seek your heavenly Father and seek his wisdom today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you for wisdom and we come to you to be loved and to know how to love. I pray for the men and especially for fathers in this church, that you would help us to set an example of unconditional love in our families, in our church, and in our society. I pray for strength and conviction that we may lead our families with love by modeling diligence and selflessness. Help us to lead holy lives and help us to teach and discipline our children in love. We look to you, Heavenly Father, to complete the good work which you began in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.